puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Now, I missed a few of these abandoned Manitobas, but I'm glad to be back for this particular episode. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia. Welcome back.
I get to hear about your adventures.
Indeed you do. You know, 3 weeks ago, I had this adventure in which I drove with a group of antique cars along a Manitoba road that I suspect most of our listeners have never driven, the Sunshine Highway. So today, we're going to talk about the experience.
So it's perfect timing, because I remember you telling us all about that before you were going.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get into that, in case any listeners missed your description of the Sunshine Highway, what was it exactly?
It was a route that connected Brandon, Manitoba with Sioux City, Iowa, a total distance of about 700 miles or 1,100 kilometers. It was to be the primary road connecting Western Manitoba with the U.S., and it was hoped, I think, to stimulate tourism and trade between our two countries. Unfortunately, it petered out in the late 1920s, so today it's largely forgotten. However, a group of antique car owners who were inspired by the Pine to Prairie Relic Run that I had organized last summer and instigated by Alan Melvin and Mike Weber at Crystal City undertook what we called the Sunshine Highway Relic Run. It took place on the 23rd of July, and it was a recreation of an historic drive from the 1920s.
So cool. How many cars participated in the Sunshine Highway Relic Run?
Well, as of the day before the run, we had 15 vehicles participating, but in the end, only 13 cars made the entire 110-mile, 180-kilometer journey at an average speed of about 40 to 50 kilometers per hour. One of the cars had mechanical problems, so it was actually carried on a trailer for the last half of the trip. We started at the Canada-US border, south of Crystal City, at 8:30 in the morning. We made several stops along the way, had lunch in Glenboro, and arrived in Brandon at 5:15 in the evening.
So what cars were involved?
Well, we had a rule that all cars had to be no newer than 1940 models. Of the 15 registered cars, the youngest was from 1938. The oldest was a 1920. The average age was 1928. Now, I say of the 15 registered cars because in addition to the official cars of the Relic Run, we were joined for portions of the drive by other vehicles, some of which were not period authentic. You know, we were sticklers, but no, only so far. So, for example, there was a hot rod that had an old-looking body put on top of what I think was a fairly modern vehicle underneath the engine and so on. But of the 15 old cars, the truly old cars, there was a Chevy, a Dodge, 9 Fords of various configurations, Model A's, Model T's. There was a Hudson, a Nash, an Overland, and one Pontiac. Now, perhaps I shouldn't have had a favorite, you know, but I did. The oldest car, a 1920 Overland Model 4, was absolutely gorgeous. It was painted in a red color scheme that I suspect would not have been found on the original car. It was owned and driven by Murray Johansson of Langruth. Now, we've spoken about Mr. Johansson here on Abandoned Manitoba before. He has vintage farm equipment that every few years he uses to harvest a crop in a way that farmers a century ago would have done. Murray's a real antique equipment buff, and his car was no exception. Absolutely gorgeous.
Were any of the drivers from last year's Relic Run involved this year?
Oh, yeah. In fact, all but one of the cars last year participated again. The only holdout was prevented from attending by a busy schedule. Our oldest driver last year, 92-year-old David Allenson, had some medical issues that prevented him from participating this year. But three generations of his family were involved in this year's Relic Run, including his 16-year-old great-grandson, who, by the way, drove the entire day by himself in a 1928 Ford Model A, along with Dave Allenson's 5-year-old great-granddaughter, who drove with her dad in a 1931 Ford Model A. And there were a couple of other examples of multi-generational participation, too. So we had a Hudson Brougham sedan that had been owned by the Checkley family since it was purchased new in 1926. They have the original bill of sale for the car, and a fourth-generation family member was at the wheel. And there was also a 1926 Ford truck that had been driven by four generations of its owners, the Wildmans.
I love that the younger generation were participating in this as well.
Oh, exactly. And, you know, what it suggests is that they will have now a lifelong interest in doing this sort of thing.
What were the roads like?
The first portion, south of Crystal City, well, it was a modern paved highway. It was, you know, quite unlike the original Sunshine would have been in the day, which would have probably been mostly dirt. From Crystal City northward, we were, for the most part, on gravel, which made for a good solid surface, but conditions were really dry, and it made the road incredibly dusty. You know, there were billowing clouds of dust. Well, it actually made it very hard to see vehicles at times. I remember following behind a large gravel truck that I could barely see, despite it only being a couple of car lengths in front of me. But at least my modern car had its windows rolled up tight. Several of the antique cars had no side windows, so the dust must have been insufferable. Well, later, I asked the drivers about this, and none of them confessed to being bothered by the dust, so I can only conclude they were real diehards. You know, a highlight of the day was a crossing of the Assiniboine River aboard the Stockton Ferry. It's the last remaining ferry in southern Manitoba, and it would have been the standard way for crossing rivers back in the 1920s when the Sunshine Highway was in use. But I should point out that the Stockton Ferry was not on the Sunshine Highway route. So in other words, we had to take a brief detour so a few of the old cars could cross over and back. But it was a real hoot to see four old cars drive onto a ferry for a ride over the Assiniboine.
Now, you mentioned that you had a few stops along the way. Why was that important?
Well, we wanted to give the cars a chance to cool down first. But we also wanted the drivers a chance to relax, shake off the dust from themselves, and maybe just as importantly, to give the people there at the various stops a chance to talk with the drivers, see the cars, and, you know, learn more about this. So we stopped at Crystal City, Glenora, Balder, Glenborough, and finally Wawanisa, where each of the cars was introduced with its driver. You know, it was really a spectacle. And it was really tough leaving each town because there was just so much enthusiasm for the cars.
I wanted to ask about that. What was the reaction from the public?
Absolutely exceptional. You know, everyone was so excited to see the cars passing through their town. In Glenora, for example, one kind resident gave each of us a glass of lemonade before we left town, and very nice, especially to get some of that dust out of your throat. And the interest was not confined to towns. At numerous places in the countryside, we'd pass a group of cars and trucks parked at a crossing, everybody waving and honking and hollering. You know, it was just so much fun seeing just how excited people were to see us pass.
I love that old-fashioned hospitality of offering a glass of lemonade to passers-by. It just doesn't happen anymore.
The kind of hospitality, you associate with the country, and it still exists.
Were there any other highlights that stood out for you in this trip?
Well, a special sight for me was when the cars left Crystal City, because they then crossed over a rare bowstring arch bridge from 1920. And of course, listeners will know I'm a sucker for old bridges. To see an old bridge crossed by a bunch of old cars, perfect. North of Balder, the cars made a brief stop at the Frelsis Lutheran Church, which is the oldest Icelandic Lutheran church in Canada. It dates from 1889. But the sweetest moment was when the 13 cars lined up alongside Brandon's Dominion Exhibition Building on the Keystone Grounds, where we were greeted by scores of Brandonites, including the good folks from the Daily House Museum and the Brandon General Museum and Archives. Heck, we even had a formal welcome from the mayor of Brandon. He came out to greet the cars too. And, you know, all in all, it was just an exceptional day.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you were in a modern car, so how come you didn't drive one of the antique ones?
Well, I would have liked to, have to say, but I was part of a team that was documenting the entire day with video. My job, by the way, was to get aerial drone footage as the cars cruised along the country roads. We've applied for a grant that, if it's successful, we will hope to make a short documentary film about the history of the Sunshine Highway and this relic run, putting together our raw video footage with historical photos and narration. We'll hopefully hear about the grant in a few weeks, and if all goes well, the film will be available on the YouTube channel of the Manitoba Historical Society by early fall. So watch for that.
You'll have to keep us posted on that. Good luck with that grant application. Now, final question, Gordon. Will there be a relic run next year?
Well, it would seem logical since we've now had two in a row. And I have heard from several of this year's participants that they're keen to do it again next summer. Well, I'm going to have to put my thinking cap on as to what highway that could be, as the point of these runs is to create an historic driving experience from long ago. And, you know, frankly, just driving along a modern highway just doesn't do it. So we're going to have to stay tuned. I'm not saying yes, I'm not saying no, but we're going to have to do a little research.
Well, a fun tradition that you have started up potentially. So thanks for telling us all about it. What's up for next week?
Well, some listeners may know that in addition to this weekly column, I also write books and make videos about Manitoba history. Recently, our production team began filming a new series of videos, and we've already had some interesting experiences that I'm going to talk about next week.
Looking forward to that. Thank you, Gordon.
Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.